Blog Talk Radio.
This is Andrew Shatkin, and it's about your host on the Blog Talk Radio show on every evening, either 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. And tonight it's at 8 o'clock. And I want to tell you that yesterday I summarized and hit the topic of my book on the Psalms, which analyze and consider the 150 Psalms in the Hebrew Bible. I also talked about my book on the parables, which analyzes 41 parables. And I went into the parables, what I think they mean, their significance. I also went into the Psalms, their meaning and significance. And I said that the parables were the mind and thoughts of Christ and deserves our great attention, and that the Psalms were the Hebrew lyric poetry, Jewish lyric poetry, the legacy of Jewish lyric poetry of the past, and they are the spiritual treasures of the church. And John Donne said of them, the great Anglican minister, that they were the manna of the church. And I say that they are the greatest lyric poetry you can run into, and they are the greatest spiritual treasures you can run into. Tonight I'm going to talk about one of the parables, the parable of the mustard seed. But I'll briefly go over my background once again. This is a politically incorrect show. I'm not concerned with political rhetoric, with media hypes, with media falsehoods or the big lie. Not interested in those things. I'm interested in getting at the facts and getting at the truth and with critical thinking, accurate critical thinking. I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation and the ancient creeds of the Church, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. And if I read a book, I'm going to read the Epistles of Paul. I'll read John Bunyan's Building in Progress. I'll read C.S. Lewis. I'll read G.K. Chesterton. I'll read St. Augustine. And I'll read Calvin and Luther and Bonhoeffer. These are all great Christian writers, and they capture me extensively. Also, this show has a political element. I am a conservative, basically, but on the other hand, I follow Christ and his direction and concern for the poor and poverty-stricken. I always recall that he chose as his disciples working men, fishermen, and his followers were sinners, so to speak. Moral and ritual law sinners, and it is said of him, can anything good come out of Nazareth, meaning his heck town, and who is this man that uses publicans and sinners? He died the death of a crucified criminal. This man was executed as a criminal. I also run two radio shows, Christian radio shows, podcast show, and Blog Talk radio show. And I am very happy to say that many have many visitors to these shows, which have a Christian basis, from all over the world, particularly our Muslim brothers and sisters. I welcome all faiths. I welcome all people, because Jesus died for them and gave up his life for them. And therefore, they deserve my utmost attention and concern and love, because Jesus loves them immeasurably and without cessation. His love is very great for all people, whoever they are. I also, I've written 10 books, legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, a book on the Psalms, as I mentioned, and I've written other books. I have planned other books. I have 4 blog books I'm working on. 4 books of my blogs, philosophical, theological, literary blogs. They're going to be coming out soon, 4 books. And I have a book partially completed, 1 chapter, on the miracles in the Bible. And I also have completed a treatise on evidence, Res Gestae, found in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. And I've also written an encyclopedia article in New York jurisprudence on criminal law, demands and notices. And I've also written a chapter on paternity in New York family law and practice. Those are some of the work I've done. I've written 3 law review articles, one of Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, and this has had very wide circulation, and it's been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. I also have 2 Albanian scientific journals, which I've considered the issue of the United States educational system and the sexual orientation discrimination. However, I may differ with my gay brothers and sisters. I respect them. I love them. I know Jesus died for them, and I have great concern for them and love. And so, this is it. I hope you've enjoyed. This is my background, and now I'm going to go into this wonderful parable. The parables are all wonderful because they reveal the mind and thinking of Christ. This parable, the mustard seed, is found in Mark 4:30-32, Matthew 13:31-32, and Luke 13:18-19. In Mark, it says, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it?" He says, "It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. And when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth larger branches so the birds of air can make nests in its shade." In Matthew 13:31-32, he says, "Similarly, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree." In Luke 13:18-19, again he says, "What are the kingdom of God is like? To what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in the garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." So what are we going to understand about this parable here? I think the significance of this parable, the mustard seed, is that the smallest for God is and becomes the greatest. Whether a human soul or Jesus, the Son of God, who was crucified as a criminal, he came out, he may have been the smallest at that time, but he has become the greatest. And Jesus is saying that the smallest of things grows into the largest and most significant of entities. Now, we can't judge by appearances, Jesus say. We would judge by it's small, but it will become great. That's really what he said. So let's take a look at the disciples. They were really quite humble in background, fishermen, if you will, working folk. And this parable makes the point that the world and its values are quite deceptive. And we're wrong in thinking that these humble disciples are backward. The world makes the point to us and its values are deceptive. And Jesus says, the humble, they will become great. They are great. And then the world eludes and bewilders us, fooling us into thinking that wealth, power, appearance, and glitz are big and important. Not so, Jesus says. He says this little mustard seed becomes the greatest. And Jesus says, this parable makes the point that the world and its values are deceptive, that the small little seed becomes the greatest. And the world eludes and bewilders us into thinking that the great and the powerful, and those who are good-looking with glitz, are big and important. And Jesus makes the point here that every person, every being has the potential to become an eternal being, or better put, has the potential for greatness. He's saying every human being, however small, and whatever thing is small, has the potential for greatness. And he's really saying that every person has the potential to become an eternal being, and, or if you will, the potential for greatness. God is not fooled. He sees in the least of people, he sees in children, the greatest of persons and souls. He sees in the little child, he sees in the humble fisherman, he sees in the criminal on the cross, the greatest of persons and souls. Jesus teaches here that the church can be small and insignificant in one place, and being a living organism can grow into greatness in another place or time. So he's really saying that greatness is deceptive. He's saying in the least of us is the greatest of persons and souls. In the least of us, he's saying, in the little child, in the criminal on the cross, they all have greatness in them to become an eternal being. Jesus teaches here the church can be small, can be like a grain of seed, and yet insignificant at one point, and then it grows into greatness at another point. I think the point of this parable is that we're not to be fooled by the world and its appearances. Jesus says a small little seed becomes great after a period of time. And Christ knows and God knows that every person and every soul has the potential to be an eternal being in the course of time, a being with the growth or potential to be something far beyond the grasp of the evaluation system of the world, which judges by wealth and power. So Jesus is saying God knows that every child, every person on the cross, every being, every fisherman, every person, every soul has the potential for greatness, to be an eternal being,
90 seconds.
And to be potential to be far something beyond the valuation system of the world of wealth and power. I'm going to go into this again tomorrow night briefly to conclude my discussion of this, but I think this parable is very profound and very important and deserves your utmost attention. I will be talking about this again tomorrow night. Good night.